Chapter 3. By the end of October, the rain had come, falling heavily upon the 6-inch layer of dust which had had its own way for more than 2 months. At first, the rain had merely splotched the dust, which seemed to be rejoicing in its own resiliency and laughing at the heavy drops thudding against it. But eventually, the dust was forced to surrender to the mastery of the rain, and it churned into a fine red mud that oozed between our toes and slopped against our ankles as we marched miserably to and from school. To shield us from the rain, Mama issued us dried calf skins, which we flung over our heads and shoulders like stiff cloaks. We were not very fond of the skins, for once they were wet, they emitted a musty odor which seeped into our clothing and clung to our skins. We preferred to do without them. Unfortunately, Mama cared very little about what we preferred. Since we usually left for school after Mama, we solved this problem by dutifully cloaking ourselves with the skins before leaving home. As soon as we were beyond Big Ma's eagle eyes, we threw off the cloaks and depended upon the overhanging limbs of the forest trees to keep us dry. Once at school, we donned the cloaks again and marched into our respective classrooms properly attired. If we had been faced only with the prospect of the rain soaking through our clothing each morning and evening, we could have more easily endured the journey between home and school. But as it was, we also had to worry about the Jefferson Davis school bus zooming from behind and splashing us with the murky waters of the road. Knowing that the bus driver liked to entertain his passengers by sending us slipping along the road to the almost inaccessible forest banks washed to a smooth baldness by the constant rains, we continuously looked over our shoulders when we were between the two crossroads so that we could reach the bank before the bus was upon us. But sometimes the rain pounded so heavily that it was all we could do to stay upright, and we did not look back as often or listen as carefully as we should. We consequently found ourselves comical objects to cruel eyes that gave no thought to our misery. No one was more angered by this humiliation than Little Man. Although he had asked Mama after the first day of school why Jefferson Davis had 2 buses and Great Faith had none, he had never been totally satisfied by her answer. She had explained to him, as she had explained to Christopher John the year before, and to me 2 years before that, that the county did not provide buses for its black students. In fact, she said, the county provided very little, and much of the money which supported the black schools came from the black churches. Great Faith Church just could not afford a bus, so therefore we had to walk. This information cut deeply into Little Man's brain, and each day when he found his clean clothes splashed red by the school bus, he became more and more embittered, until finally one day he stomped angrily into the kitchen and exploded. "They've done it again, Big Ma. Just look at my clothes." Big Ma clucked her tongue as she surveyed us. "Well, go on and get out of 'em, honey, and wash 'em out. All of y'all, get out of them clothes and dry yourselves," she said, turning back to the huge iron-bellied stove to stir her stew.
"But, Big Ma, it ain't fair," wailed Little Man. "It just ain't fair."
Stacy and Christopher John left to change into their work clothes, but Little Man gazed at his pale blue pants crusted with mud from the knees down. Although each night Big Ma prepared a pot of hot soapy water for him to wash out his clothing, each day he arrived home looking as if his pants had not been washed in more than a month. Big Ma was not one for coddling any of us, but now she turned from the stove and, wiping her hands in her long white apron, sat down on the bench and put her arm around Little Man.
"Now, look here, baby. It ain't the end of the world. Lord, child, don't you know one day the sun'll shine again and you won't get muddy no more?"
"But, Big Ma," Little Man protested, "if that old bus driver would slow down, I wouldn't get muddy."
Then he frowned deeply and added,
"Or if we had a bus like theirs."
"Well, he don't, and you don't," Big Ma said, getting up.
so ain't no use fretting about it. One day, you'll have plenty of clothes and maybe even a car your own to ride around in, so don't you pay no mind to them ignorant white folk. You just keep on studying. Get yourself a good education, you'll be all right. Now go on and wash out your clothes, hang them by the fire so as I can iron them before I go to bed.
Turning, she spied me. Cassie, what you want, girl?
Go change into your pants and hurry on back here so you can help me get this supper on the table time your mama get home.